When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. As Jim noted, I'll be your host for today's show, Zach Clinton, and I'm thrilled to be joined by a dear friend of ours here at the AACC, someone many of you know and love. His name is Mark Batterson. Mark is the New York Times bestselling author of 24 adult and children's books with more than 4 million copies in print. He also serves as the lead pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. Mark holds a Doctor of Ministry degree from Regent University, and he and his wife, Laura, reside on Capitol Hill. Mark, my friend, what a delight it is to have you join us.
Hey, thank you, Zach. Great to be with you and excited for our conversation.
As am I, my friend. You know, every time I get to sit underneath your teaching and just glean from your wealth of wisdom and knowledge, I'm always so grateful and inspired, and I leave encouraged as I just see the joy that you carry for the Lord everywhere you go. You have a smile. You just have a charisma about you that just brings joy to others. So I just wanted to note that up front. But I know, as I just noted, you're releasing your newest book titled A Million Little Miracles. Mark, up front, what's at the heart of the book, and what do you hope that every reader really walks away with?
Well, Albert Einstein said it best. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as if nothing is a miracle. The other is as if everything is. And Zach, I just think nothing is as simple as it seems, and everything is more miraculous than we imagine. And so I realize that when we hear the word miracle, we tend to think anomaly or epiphany or something that breaks the laws of physics. And I've experienced those kinds of miracles. I promise you, I believe in those kinds of miracles. But I would argue that we are surrounded by everyday miracles, a million little miracles that are hiding in plain sight. And when we open our eyes, almost like Jacob post-Bethel, like surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it, life takes on a dimensionality. Like if all you see is the mundanity of life, life becomes a bore and a chore. But if you begin to see the miracles, life becomes pure joy as you marvel at God's handiwork and his creation. And so It's a book that I hope, carpe wonder, wakes people up to the miracles that are all around them all the time.
I love this idea of being able to recognize the everyday miracles, but also developing a holy curiosity by recognizing those things. And as you mentioned, you know, a lot of times when we think or hear the word miracle, we do think of those epiphanies and those anomalies. And like you mentioned already and you alluded to, you've experienced something very similar to that because you suffered from severe asthma for 40 plus years. Mark, before we dive into the everyday miracles, speak to that epiphany that happened in your own life.
Yeah, I love it. Well, my first memory, Zach, is an asthma attack. I was probably 3-4 years old, woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't breathe, went to the emergency room, shot an epinephrine, opened my lungs back up, and that routine was repeated night after night. Eventually, got an inhaler, an albuterol inhaler that became my best friend for 40 years. There weren't 40 days in 40 years where I wasn't taking multiple puffs of that rescue inhaler. I slept with it under my pillow. I played basketball with it in my sock. Fast forward, July 2nd, 2016, I pray a bold prayer. Now, for the record, it's a prayer I had prayed many times before. And I'll just go on record and say, when and how and where God answers prayer is past my pay grade. Like, I don't get to call those shots. But I'm not going to lose faith in the God who's able to do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. And so I prayed that prayer. And Zach, I have not touched an inhaler from that day to this day. God healed my lungs. And since we both are athletes, now let's be honest, you're a little bit closer to your prime than I am. But I will say, Zach, the older you get, the better you were. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I love that, Mark.
The former athletes who are out there. You know what I did? I actually decided, after God healed my lungs, to do something I could not have done. And I actually ran the Chicago Marathon as a way of just celebrating that miracle. And part of it is, you know, you have to participate in your own healing. Like, once I knew God had healed my lungs, I'm like, hey, well, let's participate in my own healing, but I did finish it. Never lost my lungs, and I still marvel that I am now 8 years inhaler-free, but I'll throw in one last little thing. We probably ought to thank God for every breath we take, because each breath is a miracle in and of itself. I mean, hemoglobin delivering oxygen to all the cells of the body through 60,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries. Like, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So, you know, maybe everybody listening right now, just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Breathe it in. And now just praise God for that miracle. The breath of life, Genesis 2:7. God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And so what a miracle. And what a fun way to start this conversation.
You know what I love about this book, Mark, is that it really does spark that awe and that wonder and that curiosity that you're trying to breathe into every reader upon the conclusion of its pages. And I know that you're a lead pastor, but I also know that you're somebody, Mark, that gives a lot of motivational talks to professional sports teams and more. And I've heard you share that something you're continuing to notice, though, is that we often miss these everyday miracles because we've grown bored with God or maybe bored with our lives. I got to ask this question because when you read through the book, you see all the miracles, it's like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is mesmerizing. But how do we get to a place of boredom? And how do we get to a place where we begin to forget or neglect the miracles truly surrounding us today?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to me that Soren Kierkegaard said that boredom was the unpardonable sin. And I would say, for the record, I don't think you can follow Jesus and be bored at the same time. But, you know, there's a case study. I think we have selective memory. And then you just start living out of the overflow of gratitude. So that's part of it. It's just a little bit of a, well, Bob Goff says it this way, like when he studies scripture, he says, I'll read the text and then I'll turn my head slightly to the left, which I just think is hilarious because that's totally Bob Goff.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say this book is about, let's look at the book of nature and now turn our head slightly to the left and begin to appreciate a hummingbird is a miracle in motion. A jellyfish is a floating miracle that is like 99% water, by the way. I mean, the list goes on. All I'm trying to do in the book, Zach, is just whet our appetite for miracles to really see things for what they are, and that is a creation of God.
Yeah, and as you mentioned already, you try to help us pull out that telescope and that microscope, because in your book you mentioned that our biggest problem is our small view of God, and that so many of us almost begin to almost compartmentalize Him, right? Separating the sacred from the secular and almost limiting God to a box within our spiritual lives, when in reality we know this, that God cannot be compartmentalized to a box. He is all around us, surrounding us, within us. God is, in a sense, the ultimate box that all other boxes fall into. Mark, why is that view that you're trying to, in a sense, counteract or contradict within us in that approach to life? How can it be so dangerous and leave us susceptible to only growing more and more bored within our faith walk in life?
If you have a small God, you're not going to dream very big. And the implications and ramifications are pretty profound. Like, is God bigger than your biggest problem? Is He bigger than your biggest mistake? Is He bigger than your biggest dream? And you could say, well, Mark, what difference does it really make? Well, go back to this story of 12 spies in the promised land, and 10 of them come back with a negative report. By the way, 10 negative people can cost an entire nation 40 years. I'm just putting that out there. This is a bigger deal than what we think. But their negativity, they actually gave a accurate assessment that those living in the land are bigger than we are, but it's the wrong comparison. They may be bigger than us, but they're not bigger than God. And so what happens is we tend to become, well, Tozer said it this way, what comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Zach, I think there are a lot of people that think that God is some cosmic killjoy. Nothing could be further from the truth. He's the one that created us with the range of emotion that we have. He is joy personified, joy unspeakable. And I'll go on record and say God is in a good mood. I think we have to rediscover that God. It doesn't happen overnight, but I'm hoping that the book is a catalyst in that process.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm your co-host today, Zach Clinton, and we're blessed to be joined by best-selling author of 24 books and lead pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. His name, Mark Batterson. Our topic of conversation today, his newest book titled A Million Little Miracles, Rediscover the God Who is Bigger Than Big, Closer Than Close, and Gooder Than Good. Another thing that I wanted to touch on, though, that I think your book highlights really well, is that people, we are all walking miracles. And I think in a time where there's a lot of division and there's a lot of divide, but how can we begin to view people differently the more we view them as miracles as well?
I've got two rules of life, two of many, but everyone is my superior in some way, in that I learn of them. And everyone's fighting a battle I know nothing about, in that I empathize with them. So I want to approach people with a holy curiosity. Like, tell me your story. Tell me more. And what I found, especially pastoring a church in a pretty contentious place called Capitol Hill, is I think the Quakers were right. They said, an enemy is someone whose story you haven't heard yet. I think there's this idea that When we tell generations of kids, it's random chance, survival of the fittest, God isn't anywhere in that equation. I mean, do we really think that that's not going to have an effect on the psyche of a generation? you know, Darwin, I'm not discounting some of the discoveries he made, but I make no apologies for disagreeing with his conclusions. You know, he said that despite all our noble qualities, he said there's this constant reminder of our lowly origin. I believe the exact opposite. I believe in divine origin, that God breathed into our nostrils, created us in the image of God. And so we were created a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory. You are God's workmanship. You are the image of God, the apple of God's eye. And, you know, I take on a few folks in the book who would say, you don't matter. And I would argue otherwise. You matter to God, that he cares about you infinitely. And I think it's just what you have is very different worldviews. And we're naive if we think that our cosmology, kind of how we think about origins, like it matters. It matters because it's going to have practical implications in terms of how you treat people day in and day out. And so that was a little bit more of an answer than I think you were looking for, but I might as well just go there.
I love it, Mark, and I'm grateful that you went there and helping us recognize, like you said, that we have a common humanity, not common enemies in all of this fight. And being able to see the good, to be able to see the divine nature in each and every one of our people that are walking on the face of this earth, even if they have a different opinion, or even if they have a different, let's just say, vote than maybe you do. You know, something that you talk a lot about here, Mark, A Million Little Miracles, is you dive into all of these different stories, which I think are fascinating, and they would be great conversations around the dinner table. You know, my wife and I, Evelyn, don't have kids quite yet. We're both finishing up doctoral degrees. That's our baby right now. We always joke around. But Mark, when we have kids, I want to have and be able to help produce and contribute to the awe and wonder that my kids have in the Lord. So I'd be interested for our audience out there today, a lot of the parents, the moms and dads tuning in, what's some practical words of wisdom and advice that you would offer them as to how they can begin to infuse some of these stories and that awe and wonder and childlike faith into their children as well?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing I might say is you might have as much to learn from your kids as your kids have to learn from you. So one of the joys of parenting, if you can kind of survive the diapers. And by the way, the word diaper spelled backwards is repaid. It's just one of those things that I've always loved. If you can survive the stresses of parenting kids, they have so much to teach. Kids ask the why questions. There's an innate wonder about all of life. And so somehow we have to recapture that childlike wonder and childlike curiosity. So the first thing I would say is be a student of your children. The next thing I would say is that, you know, I think you have to give them some, like, yeah, we need fences around playgrounds so that kids don't run off and get in trouble or get hurt. But as a parent, as you build that fence around the playground called childhood, man, go on that camping trip. One of my kind of core values is don't accumulate possessions, accumulate experiences. And Zach, I can tell you grew up in a similar kind of family system with hunting and fishing. And if you're going to Alaska and going on adventures, I think that's one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids. And don't think that maybe, well, I don't have the money to go here or there. Listen, I think it's find the closest body of water, find the closest forest, and have fun. And learn to kind of follow some of those childlike inklings. And then I think reminding your kids that they are a miracle. I think those dinner conversations are huge. Like, what are you talking about? Are you complaining about what happened today, every day? Or are you really cultivating that gratitude? One of the things that my wife and I do is we keep a gratitude journal and we share it with each other every week. And it's a process that kind of keeps us focused on the blessings of God. We want to counter blessings, counter miracles, rinse and repeat.
You know, Mark, I love those very practical, just wisdom that you offered all of those parents today, because it's important, like you said, explore together. Take those adventures together. Don't be afraid to learn from your kids and remind them that they are a miracle every single day. Not only will it replenish their, in a sense, holy curiosity, but it could actually do the very same thing for you. Mark, as we wrap up today's conversation, I'm reminded of a quote that I've read in a previous book of yours. It says, "You can assess the spiritual maturity of a man by whether or not one can see the miraculous in the midst of the monotonous." As you mentioned, the heart of this book, A Million Little Miracles, is really centered around gratitude. And I remember a quote, I'd be remiss not to share it. It was a steady reminder for me in the midst of some of my challenging moments and some of the struggles that I endured throughout this life. Nancy Lee DeMoss said this, "I have learned that in any and every circumstance that I go through, I can respond in one of two ways. I can whine or I can worship. And it's impossible to worship without giving thanks." What I love and appreciate about you, my friend, is the humility that you carry in stating that you're just a guy who is recklessly chasing after these experiences of these everyday miracles. And now you've moved from a guy to a guide to help us do the exact same. Mark, where can our listeners go to find out more about you and maybe even pre-order your new book, A Million Little Miracles, today?
Yeah, maybe pop over to markbatterson.com. And what it will do is give you a couple of sample chapters so that, I mean, hey, who doesn't like going to Costco and getting those food samples?
That's right.
So go ahead and try an appetizer. And if it tastes good, you may want to get the entire book, but you can find it there. And then, Zach, I'm on social media, Instagram, X, Facebook, Mark Batterson.
Connect with Mark on social media and be sure to go to markbatterson.com. Check out this new book, A Million Little Miracles. Rediscover the God who is bigger than big, closer than close, and gooder than good. Mark Batterson, my friend, on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, thank you so much for all that you're doing. You are doing kingdom work, my friend, and all of us here at LLFF, we love and appreciate you. Thank you for your time today.
Hey, much love, grateful, and Zach, keep on keeping on.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life-altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a place of hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.